Well, we're turning in our Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Acts in the chapter 9. The book of Acts in the chapter 9 and the verse 36. We're, I suppose, between series at the moment, so I thought we would just do a one-off study this morning here in the book of Acts. We want to think of Dorcas or Tabitha. And we want to do a study in this particular character in God's Word. Acts chapter 9, please, in the verse 36. God willing, I plan next week to get back to Genesis. And we'll begin looking at the life of Abraham. So we'll be back in Genesis again for another stint for our second volume, I suppose, of studies there in the book of Genesis. But for today, we're taking time to look at these particular verses in the Acts. Acts chapter 9, please, and the verse 36. This is the word of God, and it reads, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth," he put them all out, "and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when she had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. It was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts this morning. This morning I want to focus on a character in Scripture that there aren't too many sermons preached on. And there aren't too many commentators spend too much time on this particular person. But as we focus on this character, I want you to see that she gave her all in the place where God had put her. I hope you know that you're important to the Lord. Don't you know that? I hope you know that God wants to use you in his work, that there's a place for you. And although those around you may not recognize what you do for the Lord sees you, and he will reward you for your faithfulness to him. After all, do we not read in 1 Samuel 2 and 30, "For them that honor me, I will honor." So often in Scripture we focus on faithful men, and we spend much time studying the men of Scripture, but this morning we want to take time to study a faithful woman. She appears in a chapter that we read of the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus, and we also see Peter emerge as another main character in this passage, but Peter himself even, he plays a key role in the life of this lady. But our focus isn't on Peter this morning. We're going to consider a wonderful woman whose name is Tabitha, and verse 36 tells us, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And before we even look at what the passage tells us about this wonderful lady, we can even learn a lesson from her name. We introduce this lady, and her name, Dorcas, and the names given to her, Dorcas and Tabitha, have the same meaning. It can be interpreted as a fawn or a deer or a gazelle. And this sort of name would have been used to describe in those days someone who was beautiful. Now we can imagine that maybe this could be describing something of her physical beauty. We can't be sure of that, but certainly we know that she was beautiful in her character. She was beautiful in her character. Her name tells us that she would have been tender-hearted and kind and graceful and energetic and diligent. By looking at other parts of Scripture, we see the meaning of dear. In Song of Solomon 2 and verse 9, we read, "My beloved is like a roe or a young hart." And that means a deer. And also in Proverbs 5:19, that same phrase is found. And other verses tell us that this deer in Scripture is a mark of beauty. Dorcas, meaning a deer. A mark of beauty. A beautiful character. She lived in Joppa, we're told, and this was a seaside town where the tribe of Dan would have lived in Old Testament times. It was approximately 40 miles from Jerusalem. But we begin here in verse 36, where, first of all, Luke, who wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that she was a disciple. She was a disciple. It says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha," which by interpretation is called Dorcas. What does that mean? Why is the first thing that we learn about Tabitha the fact that she was a disciple? Well, a disciple is someone who willingly takes up their cross daily and follows the Lord, and that's exactly what Tabitha did. She didn't need a badge. She didn't need the wee fish bumper sticker on the back of her car so that people knew that she served the Lord Jesus. She wasn't wearing some kind of Christian organization's hoodie to say that she volunteered. This was a lady who was sold out for the Lord in everything that she did, and she was marked by it, by her character. A disciple is a follower. Some of you may have been apprentices when you were younger. I was brought up in East Belfast, and many of the older men in East Belfast worked originally as apprentices in the shipyard when they were first young boys. And today, I suppose you would find apprenticeships in joinery and plumbing or some other trade. And an apprentice is the same word, effectively, as the word disciple. It has the same meaning. What an apprentice does is, as a young lad, maybe 14 or 15, he comes along the side, a more experienced tradesman, and initially all that he does is he watches the example, and he looks and he learns from how this older worker does it. Then eventually he has a go himself, and in a controlled environment, the more experienced worker supervises him as he goes. Maybe he makes a couple of blunders. Maybe he hits his thumb and all the rest, you know about it. But that's the only way that the apprentice can learn. And that is what a disciple does. It says in Mark chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus called his disciples to be with him, to watch him, to see how he worked, and then he sent them out to do his work. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ calls you and I to be with him often. To observe, to learn. And that requires commitment. That requires significant time spent with him each day in the Word. That requires us to be out at our local church often, learning from the preached Word and learning from one another. It requires commitment to be Christ's disciple. See, the Lord Jesus wants to clean up your life. The Lord Jesus wants to work with you by his Spirit. And you've got to be willing. You've got to be repentant. You've got to be involved in the process. It's not enough just to come to Christ as you are, to get your sins forgiven and think, well, that's it. If you think of your life like a house, when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ that first day you were saved, he doesn't expect you to renovate it before you give it to him to clean it from the inside out. He just wants you to give your life to him, your house to him. That's the way it is. But when you give that house to him and you give your life to Christ, you've got to be prepared for him to make changes. He wants to tear the walls down. He wants to rebuild. He wants to fix the broken things. Because being a disciple means that we cooperate with Christ in the work that he wants to do with us through his Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, really. Maybe you've been reverting back, dear Christian, perhaps to old ways. You may walk on the clean side of the road. You may be moralistic and fine and upstanding in the community, but as far as it's going with God, where God is concerned, maybe you're static or maybe you're stuck. Maybe you've been walking out of fellowship with the Lord for a long time and you haven't been yielding your whole life to Him. Listen, if you want to be an effective disciple for your Lord and Savior, if you want to truly encounter God, you must give your whole life to Him. What are you holding back from Him? Dear Christian, the cost of a disciple is take up your cross and follow Him daily. It's to find as many opportunities to spend time with Him throughout your day in prayer, through reading. It is to gladly learn from the Savior's counsel as you read the Word. You know, verse 36, it goes on here in the passage and it tells us this woman was full of good works and alms deeds. There was a young man in the USA who was an engineer and was sent to Dublin by his company to work for a new electronics plant. It was a 2-year assignment and he had accepted it because it would enable him to earn enough money to put a deposit on a house. And when he returned home, he would be able to marry the girl that he loved, his sweetheart. His girlfriend had a job near home in Tennessee, and their plan was to pool their resources. And they corresponded regularly, but as the weeks drudged by, she started to express doubts about whether he was fully committed to her or if he was attracted to the Irish girls. The young engineer wrote back saying that he found the Irish girls attractive, but he was keeping himself for her. In the next letter that he received, the engineer received a package with a wee harmonica. And the letter his girlfriend sent him along with it read, "I'm sending this to you so you can learn to play it and have something to take your mind off those girls." He wrote back, "Thanks for the harmonica. I'm playing it every night and thinking of you." At the end of his 2-year stint, the engineer was transferred back to the United States to be reunited with his girl. Her whole family was there as he stepped off the plane. But as he rushed forward to embrace her, she held up a restraining hand and she said sternly, "Just hold on. Before any kissing and hugging starts here, let me hear you play that harmonica." The girlfriend wanted some proof that her boyfriend's love was real. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Dorcas. There was evidence that she loved the Lord. There was evidence that her love for the Lord was real because there was a clear outflowing of good works and alms deeds, which showed to others that she indeed was saved to serve and was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's important to say this, and you know this well, good works will never get anyone to heaven. Because of course any good thing we do, they're just as filthy rags. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who saves us. But if we're truly saved, we will naturally begin to want to serve Him and be involved in doing good. It's a clear evidence of salvation. We read in James chapter 2, verse 17, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." I once heard it described like this: no smoke without fire. If the fire is our salvation in Christ, the smoke is the result of the fire, the good works. Clear evidence of our salvation. The world should be able to tell that the faith burns in our hearts by the works that they see coming out of our lives. You know, I love the little line at the end of verse 36. And we can all be guilty of having good intentions at times, me included. But look at what the end of the verse says. It says, "This woman was full of good works and alms deeds." Listening? Which she did. That wee phrase, I think, is brilliant. Which she did. This was a practical lady. She didn't think about doing good works and alms deeds, or intend to get round to doing it, or talk about doing good things and alms deeds. Dr. Luke, in his writing, as he often does, he leaves us in absolutely no doubt. She did it. The verse says, which she did. Harry Ironside says this, the ideal Christian is one who is resting in Christ for his soul salvation, and now his great concern is not his own salvation, but that of others. He's interested in making Christ known, and does this in a temporal and practical way. You see, this dear woman was interested in serving the Lord in a practical way. It says she was full of good works, which she did. Now, the word full used here in the verse is a very important word. It's used many times throughout Scripture, and it has a really rich meaning. We're told to be full of the Holy Spirit. Also in Ephesians 3:19, we're told to be filled with the fullness of God. The concept of fullness means to be totally devoted, totally controlled by the Lord, totally devoted to Him. And this woman was totally devoted to the Lord, and it could be seen in the works that she did. And she allowed the Lord to fill her. She lived to give to others. And it further states that she was involved in alms deeds, which were acts of charity and gifts of charity. Specifically, she made clothes for the people. And the word in the Greek means a non-profit organization, really, alms deeds. She was the one who did things for the poor and did things for the needy. She was, in effect, a woman who was the personification of what a child of Christ should be, a child of God should be, and the word disciple is given to her. And it's interesting, as Dorcas is the only woman in the entire New Testament to be described as a disciple. This was a marvelous woman, and she really gets this honor. In the purest sense, she is everything a disciple is to be, because she was really fulfilling what she was called to be. So we must put a simple challenge out this morning. Are we a people who seek to do good to others? As saved people, as children of God, are we fulfilling what we've been called to be? You see, what this lady was doing is what we're all called to do as saved people. Ephesians 2 verse 10, for you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that you should walk in them. You're saved to serve the Lord, and that means good works will flow from it. That others will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. I love what Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 9. He says to the Philippians, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled, there's that fullness again, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, totally controlled and dominated by good things, righteousness, Colossians 1 verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Can you see? That's what we're called to do. She is the personification of what a Christian is designed to be. Her life was a spiritual example to everybody. If we knew nothing else about her, we would know enough to know that she was a wonderful person. In fact, she fits perfectly into the pattern of a virtuous woman. Remember, Proverbs 31 tells you about a virtuous woman. One thing about a virtuous woman in verse 20 of Proverbs 31 is this. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Dorcas, Tabitha, she was a disciple. But I want you to see, secondly this morning, she was loved. She was loved. We can see how all those whose lives had been touched by Tabitha were devastated at her death. When Peter arrives on the scene after she had died, we're told that they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by and they were weeping, and they were showing the coats and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. It seems so tragic. So tragic that a useful and beloved saint should die when she was so greatly needed by the church. You know, this often happens in local churches. When a good and godly saint is called home to be with the Lord, and it leaves a church hurting and heartbroken at the loss. You know, There are some hard-working saints who are invaluable to the ministry of any local church. But the question that must be asked is, who will stand in the gap when they go, firstly? I wonder, is there something the Lord is calling you to do in His work? I wonder, is there something more that you could do for the Lord even in this local church? Young believers this morning, the people who labour for the Lord here today will not always be here. And if the Lord tarries, you are the future of this local church. Some of you are now coming of age, you're 16, 17, 18. And now is the time for you to become involved. Now is the time for you to come alongside some of the older folk that you've watched growing up and to learn from them. Just another little side note that I have to say when I consider Dorcas. You know, the ministry of women in a church is a marvelous thing. There's such a high calling for a woman in the church and a high place for a woman in the church. And God has really given to us here in Green some wonderful women like Dorcas, who have been used of God in mighty ways and are still being used of God now. Even as I think right now, as I preach to you, there are some of our women who are looking after our toddlers in the creche, serving so that parents can sit under the ministry undisturbed. There are many of our ladies in our fellowship involved in teaching your children. Other of our ladies are involved in ensuring that other ladies are encouraged by even organizing a program for the ladies throughout the year where you can meet around and learn from the truth of Scripture. Many of our ladies are involved in hospitality here in our church fellowship at our suppers and providing us all and our visitors with a lovely supper on our special outreach nights. There are other ladies who quietly visit those who are unwell and discouraged in our congregation. You know nothing about it. There are those who quietly do small jobs that sometimes we all take for granted, and some of us don't even know that those jobs are being done. And so let me commend the sisters in this fellowship this morning. I praise God for the women of this fellowship. And let it be known that we could not do without you. And when we think of this in our context, is there any wonder that Dorcas was loved and Dorcas was missed? For all of us who are here this morning, I wonder if this were to be my last day, your last day on earth, would the local church miss us? Would they miss us for how we serve the Lord? For how we served each other. You see, they knew that she was in heaven, but they bitterly missed her. And for some of us, if we died, the Church of Christ would be no different because we do so little. But we need to see that the dear believers who gathered at Dorcas' deathbed had gathered because they were so sorry to lose this wonderful Christian character. Of course, that was the scene of the wonderful miracle. As Dorcas is brought back to life, and this miracle led to many more coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. She was a disciple, she was loved, but there's room for all in the service of God for you. There's room for all. We're all different, but there's a work for each of us to do for the Lord. Notice the variety of ministries at work even in this passage as we focus in the church here in Acts. Notice the various ministries there is. We can see Dorcas who used her needle for the glory of God. You can see that in verse 39. The widow stood by Peter weeping and showed him the coats and the garments that Dorcas had made. It was small but acceptable. No work is too small for him. For Zechariah 4:10, for who hath despised the day of small things? There's no work that's too small for the Lord. Don't you sit here this morning and think the thing I do for the Lord is too small. If it's unto the Lord, it's a great thing. And you remember that. You can think of other things. Some of the women attended to this lady when she was ill. We're told that in verse 37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick. And the women would have attended to her. We do not know who they were, but these women were unsung heroes in this passage because they performed the task that they were called to do in that moment. We don't know their names, but the Lord does. And praise God, the Lord knows your name, and he sees the work that you do for him. We could think of the two men who went to Lydda to fetch Peter in verse 38. They sent on to him two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Even the task to go and get Peter, those men did it gladly. We could see in verse 39 another thing that happened. There were the widows here in verse 39. There were plenty of opportunities for Christian service and the sphere of service in this passage. You see, can I say today that there's no such thing as a one-man ministry? We all have parts to play and things to do for the Lord in this local church fellowship, small and large tasks to do as we serve the Lord together and unto his name and unto his glory, as we seek to reach the lost for him. What lessons can we learn from Tabitha? What lessons can you and I take away this morning? Will you stay faithful in serving the Lord and doing good to others? You stay faithful. It doesn't say exactly what Dorcas did for the poor beyond clothing them, but she definitely made it her habit caring for others. Over time, she became very well known and she became very well respected for this. It's easy to start measuring what the things we do in terms of small and large, but if we are consistent to reach out with a heart for ministry, God will increase the influence of anything we do. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, it says, "As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." I think that's a great instruction. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Secondly, we need to build relationships that will have a lasting impact on others. When Dorcas died, she left a legacy. She touched many lives and she made many friends. And as the widows gathered, they cried for the loss of someone they valued. And if we give thought to how we will be remembered, it might change our priorities now. Do we care about what God cares about? Do we seek to show agape love to those around us, unconditional love? Do we look for ways to connect and support others, connect with and support others? And do we do these things with the intention of bringing glory to God? Because that's the most important thing. Another lesson we can learn is, make service and ministry towards others a priority. Dorcas was called a disciple. We've learned that, which means she was enthusiastic about following Christ. She knew that he had called people to give and to care and to provide where they could. We don't have to wait until we're rich or have it all together to start reaching out to others. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Can I tell you something? Sometimes a simple phone call to someone who's discouraged, to speak with them and to share with them and to pray with them on the phone, is all that's needed. Just to pick up the phone and say, "I care for you and I'm praying for you." Another lesson we can learn from Tabitha is to let God use us to witness wherever we are placed. She served God where she was. She was an example of love to her community where she was placed. Loving the people around her, no matter what she thought of them. She loved them as Christ loved them. She was alert to the practical needs of the people around her. She was aware of prayer needs and faithfully lifted them up, I am sure, when we look at her character. She was ready to share her personal testimony, but she lived out her personal testimony. She was that example to her neighbours of Christ-likeness. Dorcas is a wonderful example for us today of what it means to submit all of our talents to the Lord and to leave a legacy behind of a life that glorifies God. And God will always multiply the blessings that come from selfless giving. And as I think of Dorcas, the words of that little hymn came to me, "So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prepare, for it is Christ we're serving. That's Dorcas. That's Tabitha. And so I say along with Paul, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord.